What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Q&A. As we get into this, it is December 3rd. I wanted to do this because the text Q&A didn't work out so well. And that is an issue I'm going to bring up to Patreon. And now my own audio is playing. My God. My own audio is playing out loud. We'll figure, because I had the page up for the questions. Anyway, the text-based Q&A, we got like limited on the number of comments we could leave. It was very weird, but let's jump right into it. Let's answer some questions, all that stuff. Now, I am watching SmackDown and Collision this afternoon, so the details that I have on both of those shows are limited. I had a very early night Friday and an early morning late night last night, so I'm going to be catching up then. Have you heard of any feuds for Punk? What do you think he does at the Rumble? I think it's something related to Seth Rollins at the Rumble, but I kind of would love to see him in the Rumble too. You know, the match that sort of was the beginning of the end for CM Punk in WWE. It was very, very weird. And, you know, I mean, I have always thought that the Royal Rumble could be improved by not allowing people who aren't in the match or who have already been eliminated to eliminate people. And that's what happened to him, if I remember right, in his last match. So did you hear anything about his contract? Is it full-time or part-time? I believe it's full-time TV. I don't have details beyond that as of now. Do you have any updates on Mercedes or Julia coming to WWE? I have long thought that Mercedes would come back to WWE. I don't know like when that necessarily would happen, but as I look, the stream is public. So there we go. People are getting a free one right here as I unlist this. But hey, if you snuck in on this stream, here's a free preview of FightfulSelect.com, and I'll be giving our subscribers of FightfulSelect.com a little something extra this week. but we got a lot of people asking about the Shazza match. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. But I mean, there's no reason for me to not make it public now, this Q&A. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave it open. But this is a preview of our FightfulSelect.com service, $5 a month, $54 a year. Any update on Mercedes? So I had heard back in August that when she was at All In, there was a working plan for her to do some stuff with AEW. However, I don't know how that has aged over the last 3 months. Where's Dexter Lumis been? Home. Unfortunately, it's just home is the answer. Like, they just haven't done anything with him. I really thought it would have been great if they had The Way be like the modern day Oddities, but with people that could work. And I thought it would be really cool if they did a thing where Lumis thought that Ciampa was the weird one. Is Punk scheduled to be at Raw tomorrow? He hasn't been announced as of now. No, but I'm not going to answer this question because you are a fucking asshole to me on all types of social media. You harass me constantly. You have posted dozen, if not hundreds, of very weird incendiary posts. So hit the bricks, buddy. I ain't answering your question. Be nice to people. Donate to NAMI.org. Any chance Rock would be available for WrestleMania? If he would, then what could be the main events? If The Rock is there, it's got to be Rock Roman. But Jesus Christ, man, how can you do a thing where Cody doesn't win the title? Roman should have lost that title this past year. But it's got to be Rock Roman. That's the only match that makes sense for The Rock. You think it's possible Orton beats Roman at the Rumble for the Universal title? No. Listen, I love Randy Orton. Personally, professionally, I really like Randy Orton. However, using it on him, using Roman's big defeat, the title drop on him, oh, I don't like that idea. I absolutely like him as an opponent for Royal Rumble, though. What's the creative for ROH looking like? Seems like the booking has changed and featured women way more than AEW does. I had heard a while back that Chris Hero wanted to take more of a hand in that, but I don't know how much of that has. Do you think that AEW Devil is someone that has not debuted yet? I was told not who it was. I mean, I've got my speculation on who it was. I think it's Adam Cole. That's who I personally think it is. But I was told that that it was somebody who was already in the company. That's what I was told. But you know what? They could be working everybody. It's pro wrestling. The reports last year that Chris Amon left WWE, even Fightful posted that, quoting PW Insider. Did he leave and later come back, or did he not leave at all? So that's interesting. I had heard that. You heard that PW Insider report, and I remember that happening, but I feel like maybe he's in a different role now as opposed to the one that he was in. But I got somebody asking about an update on somebody that I'm going to post tomorrow. But with Chris Amon, I mean, that's one that is a very clear elephant in the room with CM Punk. So that is one that I've been asking about an awful lot, and I was told that they will likely work it out. Let's see. I don't know anything about college football. So if you guys are asking about that, unless it's Kentucky, I don't follow a lot of college football as of now. What are your favorite WWE returns ever? The Punk one was a really good one. Cody's is really, really great. The Rock. Okay. The Rock one this past year was really great for me because we reported on it and I was very, very happy about it. The Undertaker's as the American Badass, I think, was just so freaking cool, man. So cool. The Bray Wyatt one, in retrospect, is pretty cool because we saw so much of him and his emotion and all that. So that one was very cool. John Cena, because nobody expected it at the Royal Rumble, was really, really special. I love that. Brock Lesnar, I was just so happy to see that because I followed his pro wrestling career. I followed his amateur wrestling career, pro wrestling career, MMA, and then back to wrestling. So that one I thought was really great. Big fan of that one. Yeah, guys, I'll answer the Shazza stuff at the end of the show. What I'm going to try to do this week, if Shazza has time, any time that I do something as a character in pro wrestling, besides, like, you know, Wrestle Talk, Quizlemania stuff, I want to do a show about it because a lot of what we sell Fightful Select and Fightful on is transparency. And I don't want you guys to think that, you know, outside the confines of this little angle that I'm working on a charity show or a charity match that I would try to work you guys. So we're going to hopefully do a podcast, even if I got to do it without her, where I'm very transparent about the whole process, how that worked and all that. And I will never make a dime off of pro wrestling as long as I'm with Fightful. It will all go to charity. So yeah, I'll answer those at the end of this. Any update on when Jungle Boy might return? I've heard some like creative things floated, but that doesn't really mean anything. They're creative things floated for everybody, but I don't believe that he is suspended any longer. What matches in So Cold turned down for Mania last year? Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was the one. I had heard Roman Reigns was floated as well, but I don't know how serious that was. Anything more to the awkwardness of that Kyrie Bianca match? It just, you know, just missing, you know, miscommunications. Any word on frustrations in the AEW women's division? Seems like the cause of the CC, they've been getting less time on screen the last few weeks. I don't know, but it needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. So I know within the company, there are some people that do really heavily push for women. There are other people who don't push for women, don't think that they draw. But to me, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to at least try. If you don't provide them satisfying stories and characters, well, then of course, they're probably not going to draw unless they've got some big name. Well, how do you develop a big name? You make people care. How do you make people care? You invest. However, here's my advice. Based on the constraints in which you're dealing with, if you're a woman in AEW, find a way to get over in 90 seconds or less on screen. And that should not be something that you are confined to. I want to make that clear. Should not be something that you are confined to. However, if you can find something that can get you over in those 60 to 90 seconds, just do a little bit of something that gets you a little bit more over. I mean, look, Tozawa makes people laugh now. Toni Storm did something that popped people. Julia Hart has the entrance. So a lot of her character work is worked in. Find something that gets you over in a very short amount of time in case you don't have much time on the screen. Is Jay White legitimately upset about his booking with MJF? I've never heard he was upset, and I don't know that that's the terminology that Wade Keller used either. So I don't want anybody to like say that his story isn't accurate. I was told like annoyed a little bit, like they knew that the booking of that day wasn't good. They're very aware of it. Well, AEW have a January or February pay-per-view. I've not heard of one as of yet. I've not heard any mention of one. And usually by now I would find out. Is KO's injury legitimate? I don't think. Again, I haven't watched SmackDown. During Kip Sabian's promo last night, he made the mention that hot take, Vikingo is the most overrated person on AEW's roster. Does Kip mentioning Vikingo as a member of AEW's roster mean that he's signed? They want him signed. I know that Tony loves Vikingo, but I don't think he's signed full-time as of yet. Don't quote me on that, but the latest I've heard was that he was not signed full-time. Is Eric Young coming back to WWE? I should ask him, shouldn't I? Did you guys see the progress thing? Like, they've had the Sanity reunion, and I'm not meaning to minimize it that way, but they had the Axel Tischer, the former Alexander Wolf, Big Damo, former Killian Dane, and Eric Young team up in a six-man tag at Progress last weekend. Let me tell you, those are three brilliant fucking guys. I had the opportunity to interview Axel Tischer shortly after his release. That guy is, I want to say he's kind of dry based on, you know, his speaking English, but he's so smart. And then I've spoken to Damo a number of times. And first off, one, I love the dude's transparency. Dude is going to tell you straight up how he feels, whether he believes you're right or wrong, etc. Married a brilliant woman as well. Nikki Cross is brilliant. But Big Damo is going to be one of those guys that if he wants to stick around wrestling after he's done wrestling, he's got a personality type, in my experience, that will benefit an awful lot of people because of his willingness to be the way that I had mentioned, to where, like, if he sees something, he's like, don't know how that plays, or some wrestlers are fucking stupid, don't know what to tell you on Twitter. I think that personality type is necessary in wrestling. I think that that's an important thing to have, especially from a veteran presence who has been there, who has been all over the place. Eric Young is another guy who I think is going to be an influential guy in wrestling for the next 15, 20 years if he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, but he still wants to wrestle. And that's what had been communicated to me, is he still wanted to wrestle while he could wrestle. Where's Penelope Ford? She's really talented. She had been sidelined, I think, at one point. Been sidelined, I believe. Does Juice have a say when told to play as a racist bully? Yeah, he could simply not do it. And I think everybody involved realized that was a bad idea immediately. Like afterwards, after the reaction, they completely leaned out of that. But I will say this, Juice Robinson does not have social media. Juice Robinson does not give a shit about social media. I did a few interviews with Juice, and I was very fortunate because he doesn't do a lot of them. And we kept in touch. And here's how I could tell that Juice wasn't plugged into anything that was really being said online. After the match with FTR, I was like, congrats, that match was a classic. It was incredible. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. It's nice to hear that. Most people on the internet just hate everything I do. I was like, bro, what are you talking about? People on the internet love you. You get put over on the internet all the time. And I was like, man, he really, really doesn't have the internet. Are there plans to break up Imperium? They've been teasing Dissension and Kaiser with Vinci for a few weeks now. A few months, my friend. They've been teasing that stuff forever. Forever. I do think Vinci is an eventual challenger. Yeah, I do. How likely is it you think Collision gets moved to another night? And what night do you think would work best? I would consolidate. If I were WBD, I'd probably want Wednesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Wednesday. Probably what I'd want. And I mean Rampage and Collision. But I mean, it all depends on what they want personally. Back-to-back nights are tough because what AEW will be tempted to do is go to the same building two straight nights. They're having trouble booking or getting buildings filled up as is. They won't go to smaller venues because I know that AEW books their venues out way, way, way ahead of time. And they like the amenities of the larger building. And in case they get hot, there you go. And they can just tarp off and deal with the people, you know, whining about the tarped off areas. I also know, ideally, back-to-backs are very beneficial for your road crew because then you can do, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, go home Thursday. And the way things are now, people got to go home Wednesday, come back Friday or Saturday if they can get a red eye out Wednesday. Oh, I think it's possible it gets moved, though. I would absolutely want to move that if I were AEW. What's the latest on an Alexa Bliss return? No, man, my friend, she just had a child. She ain't going to be back for a while. Since Punk came back, any chance Demolition makes the Hall of Fame? Since WWE is in a forgiving mood. Yes, I would say yes. I would say under this regime, the possibility of a team like Demolition making it into the Hall of Fame is significantly higher. Significantly higher. Think Roman and the Bloodline cost Cody the Rumble. I hadn't thought that whatsoever, and I love that idea. I love that idea. Why can't luchadors be put in a storyline if women aren't draw? I mix more of them into men's storylines so people see them more. David, I completely agree with you there. I think luchadors should be integrated more into storylines. I think women should be integrated more, which they are doing that with the Ruby Angelo Parker thing, which is one of my favorite things on the show because we've never seen a love story in AEW before. And I mean, that's a tried and true story right there. However, I think they could do better with integrating luchadors because the unfortunate reality of a lot of AEW programming is it's like, well, here's Jon Moxley versus Commander. And it's like, okay, the match is going to be incredible, but we know Commander ain't winning. And the audience outside of, wow, cool moves, phenomenal wrestler, they aren't given a lot of reason to invest in him. Now, with some wrestlers, I think that some of those cool moves and exhilarating things and impressive feats are reason to invest in them. But I think they got to do better with the luchadors. Do you know what's going on with Britt Baker on Twitter with AEW? Okay, listen. There's a very real frustration there. Britt, in my experience, a bit aloof, you know, she's got a chip on her shoulder, but I understand why she's got a chip on her shoulder. She worked really, really hard on the independent circuit while going to school to become a doctor. Rightfully is the first person signed by AEW. And when I say rightfully, I mean has a great look, works hard in the ring, has a gimmick. Has microphone skills, had a bit of a name on the independent circuit, had worked all in. wasn't a former WWE person, so it's somebody they could put their stamp on and say, homegrown. And from then, she got slapped with that label of chosen one, favoritism, et cetera, because she was the first one. Like, they just slapped that on her, like, you know, a lot of people unjustly. And what she did was she worked her ass off. And then when it was clear the babyface thing wasn't working, she turned heel and she became a phenomenal heel. And then after she became a phenomenal heel, she got injured several times. And what did she do? Busted nose, worked through it. Broke her wrist, I believe it was. Worked through it, broke her leg, stayed on TV, and got more over through it. So I understand. And, you know, every personality type isn't going to be for everyone. I know a lot of people took issues with the Thunder Rosa rumors and stuff like that. There's a lot more than meets the eye there. There are plenty of people of which anybody's personality styles were going to clash, are going to, you know, could possibly clash with. The woman objectively works hard. She works very, very hard and cares a lot about wrestling. And I think that shines through. If I feel like the criticism on Britt Baker would be, I mean, significantly less if people had any inkling of a clue the shit that that woman did. And stuff that isn't used for sympathy or anything like that, puts her head down, works, busts her ass. Got a lot of respect for her and how hard she works. Will Chisholm says, if you're Triple H, would you talk to Bayley and ask her to stop teasing Mercedes Moné on social media if she's not coming in because the fans think that unless she knows more than she's leading on? Yes, I would. I would if she wasn't coming in. I'd be like, not necessarily beneficial to what we're doing here, but I mean, there were people, and I will say this, there were an awful lot of people, that looked at, sorry, I lost my train of thought. There were an awful lot of people that looked at the CM Punk teases and they were like, oh, well, that means he's coming in. No, they didn't have those talks until 10 days before. Which brings me to my next point. Mox Mayhem. Hi, Sean. Big fan. Are you proud of your reports about CM Punk? Did you thank the higher-ups for making him look like a total goofball? Have a nice day. Well, Mox Mayhem, I'm so glad that you posted this here because Triple H quite literally confirmed our timeline of events on WWE programming. So, thanks for coming, you fucking goofball. I greatly appreciate it. Triple H outright said, anybody who pretended to know before a couple of weeks ago was speculating. Fightful Select reported the week before CM Punk showed up. You know what? We said that CM Punk was trying to mend fences, and we said that he had spoken or claimed that he had spoken to higher up. PR, talent, nobody in the company knew until the day of. So, go away. Reality showing almost wrestlers still choosing AEW over WWE. I mean, there are a lot of people still picking AEW. I mean, you're giving people that it's what suits you. Here's something that has benefited me greatly. One, and anybody watching this, please understand this. Part of my job is asking really stupid questions to really important people. Things that you would assume, and I would assume, but I'm not allowed to assume. That's not a part of the job. It's not a part of the job to assume things. It's part of the job to get answers, to get information. Like, for example, yesterday on FightfulSelect.com, we did a story on a Q&A question. People were like, hey, Julia Hart's on the roster. She's got a title belt. She never got an All-Elite graphic. Well, yeah, I assumed she was signed full-time, but I don't get to write a news story on Fightful Select saying, Fightful Select assumes. No, we write Fightful Select reports. Now, there's terminology that can be used, as in, this was rumored, this was indicated, etc. But In that situation, it's black and white. Is she signed? Is she not? So there's a lot of stuff like that. I usually go about 30 plus minutes on these on Fightful Select, guys. If you like this Q&A, I do these every single week. OneFightfulSelect.com. It's just $5 a month or $54 a year. Sometimes you will see people saying, huh, you know what? I'll just get that news somewhere else for free. Well, you know what you can't get for free? Q&A shows, Sour Graps, the list goes on, the Backstage Report podcast, all that good stuff. There's dozens of things every week that don't get reported elsewhere. We break in hundreds of stories, hundreds a month. Very proud of what we do over there, and 40 plus podcasts. And here's the benefit of Fightful Select as well. Listen, all due respect to aggregator accounts and all that stuff, but you get, and this person says, how do you deal with the mass fake reporting on your behalf, especially with now the people just jacking your name? So what I'm doing on Facebook now is just quote tweeting things, because boy, the misinformation on Facebook is insane. It is insane. So I've got a page, Sean Ross Sapp, and I've got a page, Fightful. I'm just going to start quote tweeting it and say, this is fake, this is fake, this is fake. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of debunking. But it is one of those things where on Fightful Select, you can drop in the comments and ask questions about it, because you know, there are things that might need some clarity. Like, we're not perfect. We mess up on the wording or anything like that, or stuff like that. Funny. Sanjay says, would you be able to turn on Spotify integration on Patreon so we can listen to the exclusive shows via Spotify? Sanjay, I will look into that immediately. Yeah, I will try to do that. Chances of a dynasty reunion in AEW. Hammerstone is free at the end of the year. Richard Holiday is a free agent right now. There is a possibility. MJF's the other guy. For those of you who don't know what the dynasty is, it was a relatively short stable in MLW, about a year long, but it was good. It was effective. I would love to see them there. Hush says, with everything Punk said about WWE, when do you think he turned a new leaf on them? When Triple H fully took them over, or when issues with AEW started? Well, Fightful Select had reported that he was open to working in WWE a year ago. So, hell yeah. DNC, I see your DM. I do not see your super chat. So please send that to me in the Twitter DM, please. Because I do not see that here on my list. I'm going to wrap up a few questions, and then we'll talk about the Shazza thing. We've got a lot of questions about that, but we're going to do a full show on that soon. Skinny Omega, a part-timer? No, he is a full-time wrestler. He wrestles less. He wrestles less, but he is a full-timer. You see Butcher reverting back to Pete Dunne under Triple H. I don't. I think Butch is an okay name. I think it's all right. Following up on the text Q&A, I believe you said you had an update on Kyle O'Reilly. Care to share? Yep, I'll share that on Fightful Select this week. I certainly will. Got an interesting update on him. Well, interesting, good, bad, however you want to take it. Any specifics regarding the issues between Punk and the Bucks prior to Brawl Out? Was it all stemming from the Hangman promo, or were there other problems with Matt and Nick directly? So, from what I understand, Punk took issue with the Hangman line about workers' rights and felt as if that was taking a shot at the Colt Cabana thing. And, he believed that the Young Bucks leaked to myself, Dave, etc., that Colt Cabana was kept out of AEW or was getting fired by AEW because of him. I can tell you that people did say that, but it was not the Young Bucks. I've spoken to the Young Bucks once in my life, and that was during an interview on Fightful. And Punk was not happy with how it wasn't handled, because he raised that issue to AEW. Now, Hangman was very much like, my bad, just won't talk about it again. Because if you go back, I think there's a Nick Houseman interview he did around that time and was asked to elaborate on it. And he's like, I'd rather not. And from what I understand, Hangman's just kind of zipped it about that since then. Outside of, you know, a little Instagram thing. I'm going to do a full timeline breaking this down from Rumble 2014 to Rumble 2024. It's going to be the first, maybe last video we ever do like that. We're going to try to keep it as narrative free as possible and just, you know, what we can verify or something like that. Brad says, Sean, you're great and not a goof. Don't listen to these goofs. Coxhead says, hope the match went well and you're holding up okay. Can we watch it back anywhere? Yes, Black Label Pro Slamilton is on Fight Plus. You can get a free trial of it and watch it. Round two at Glory Pro. Possibly. I'm not opposed to wrestling again. It's been 6 years since I wrestled. But I'm open to it. We'll see how it goes. I feel okay, though. Any chance of Tessa Blanchard working a major promotion in the USA? Yeah, there was a push for her to work one 4 years ago, like 2019. I think if she publicly and sincerely apologized, I think she'd get a shot somewhere. I do. More than, you know, taking a picture with La Rosa Negra and stuff like that. I think that if she publicly apologized and reached out to some of the people that were bothered by her, I think she would get a shot. Her work in the ring is unbelievable. It's, or it was. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it in years. And she's only 28 years old. But it's got to be sincere. Got to be sincere. With Vince out of the picture, is there a chance Triple H rehires any of their recent talent releases? No. I think those are, I mean, there's always a chance somebody will come back, but I think those were pretty much released for a reason. Will says, to be fair, the fans, the storyline was they got Bayley. I would make the fans think Mercedes could come in. What do you think the damage control storyline so far? And do you see Punk having a media scrum? I don't think Punk will do a media scrum at all. I'd be shocked if he did. I like the damage control storyline. I like integrating Asuka, Io, and Kairi together with Dakota understanding everything that they say. I think that's a really fun way to do that. I think that's kind of cool. What are the Lashley and the Street Profits listed as internally? They're portrayed as heels, but act like faces. Heels, internal. Heels, internal. You think Tyler Bate is getting called up to help Butch? I would like it. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to be until Sheamus returns. And I don't know if they're adding time to his deal. So I think it would make sense. I kind of like those, like, they could be the pit bulls. You know what I mean? Like the pit bull that Vince McMahon always said he wanted, which was like the smaller guy. And he said, AJ Styles is my pit bull. Well, AJ Styles is like 5'9", 5'10", and 215 pounds. That is not a small man. I'm sorry. DNC says, thanks for retweeting my tweet, defending you. I woke up to a million notifications. Some getting on my case for contesting that person's opinion on your match. Okay, let's talk about the match. First off, I want to say this. If you think that booking the match is lame, you think the match wasn't good, etc., I don't care about that. You can think whatever you want about pro wrestling. But let me tell you, if you're like, cokehead, thigh rubber, wrestling a woman, you're a fucking geek, bro. You're a fucking geek, bro. Just a nerd. Let me tell you, if you went up to anybody in your normal day-to-day life and said, or they said, what'd you do today? And they go, well, you know what I did? I trolled a wrestling writer. And they're like, well, why do you do that? You say, well, it's kind of my thing. It's kind of my thing. They would look at you like you had six heads. They'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? That's not normal. Well, anyway, we're raising funds for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's why I did this match. That's why I will do any match is for charity. Any wrestling appearance that I do, period, will go to a good cause. Whether it's NAMI, whether it's the Trevor Project, we will find an appropriate cause to do that. I've worked with NAMI for over a decade now. I think I did my first NAMI walk in 2012 or 2013. Either way, it's been over a decade now. But I'm very proud of how it ended up. I'm very happy with the match. I'm very hypercritical of myself. I spent a lot of time getting in shape, not great shape, but you know what? I dropped 15 pounds, significant portion of body fat, worked out in the ring. I went to Grindhouse, I think once, and worked with a local guy several times as well. Got in there with some of my catch wrestling teammates in addition to that. I was very happy with how that went. If anybody wants to drop questions about that, I will get to those now. I'll get to those after I finish these paid questions. And yeah, we will talk a little bit about that. But we'll cut the super chats off now. David Moss says, cutback squashes. Really enjoyed Lee Moriarty and Collision, Wardlow, Fox, and Dynamite. Care more when I see them in good matches. Wardlow match stoppages are stupid from Powerbomb. I don't mind match stoppages at all. I don't mind squash matches, not a single bit. I think that they're fun, they're appropriate. Sometimes I just want to see people do cool moves, but to each their own. What happens when, if Cody doesn't win at Mania? I think you stand a chance of turning off some viewers doing that. Once is tempting fate. Twice is sort of like spitting in their face, I think. For a lot of people, Brad says, you sent me a couple of cameo videos, and I appreciate those. You're a good dude. I appreciate you and your hard work. Thank you so much. This is stuff I love to see. Thank you so much. And listen, if people say mean shit to you online, you're allowed to say stuff back. Just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean you can't say anything back. And a whole lot of people get really, really bothered when I treat them exactly the way they treat me. Amir says, with the world title caught up in this C2 tournament, and MJF hurt, any idea what the card for final battle will be? No, I know the two of the big ones were Keith Lee and Shane Taylor, and then the Athena Billy thing. And I mean, a lot of those shows don't get put together until really, really late. And they got Dalton Commander and a few others for the TV title. I hope they add. I think what they should do is whoever Eddie Kingston is slated to face at that point should actually be competing for the Strong and ROH world titles. I think that should work. You know why Mackenzie Mitchell was released? No, it was a surprise to many, including Mackenzie Mitchell and Vic Joseph. It was a shock. Huge fan of Megan Bain. AEW appearance again. I know Tony was a big fan of Megan Bain. Big fan of Megan Bain, and wanted to sign her and coached her on some promos himself and wanted her to get some more experience along the way. It's very important. And that's what she's doing. She's over there getting some experience. Some of the Shazza questions. How are you feeling after yesterday? I'm feeling really good, honestly. It's like when a lot of times when stuff like that happens, what percentage would I give Mercedes of coming to the aid of Bailey after she's kicked out of Damage Control? 50%. I think it's very, very possible. But I got cracked in the back of the head with a cane. So the way that it was supposed to work, I get hit in the chest, ribs, which I certainly feel today. And then I would go and I would crawl up, like try to scamper into the ring. She'd crack me in the back. But as I was crawling, over, and you can see it, bam, I got the little flash of light. And I know that usually when that happens, it's like, oh shit, that's a concussion, right? But it was good. I waited a second and I was like, am I okay? And I'm good. You look very great in your match, Sean. Man, I was excited to see clips of you wrestling. I was gonna clip it myself, and then I saw everybody else did. Like, I was It made me very, very happy to see the drop toe hold get a little bit of love, because I talk a lot about my coaches that train me, Brandon McLeese and Jay Grooms. They are my catch wrestling coaches. They spent an incredible amount of time with Billy Robinson before he passed, And one of the times that I got to spend with Billy Robinson was learning the drop toe hold. And I mean, when I did it, he was like, "You've got a great drop toe hold. Let's make it better." I was like, "Hell yes." So I drilled it with my catch wrestling coach and Billy Robinson over and over and over. And I hadn't done one in a very, very long time. But even if it's like a little comedy match, I want to show a little respect to the people who taught me stuff. I loved your gear. Where'd you get it made? So let me make sure I got the name. I want to shout out Vinny Pacifico, because Vinny hit me up and he was like, "Hey, are you," because he's one of the few people I had told before. And he goes, "Are you getting gear made?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll probably just get generic stuff." And he's like, "Okay, well, if you want to get gear made, I got people." And damn, I wish I could find it. But he hooked me up. I think it's Brawly Strong Style Gear is what it's called. And then I had somebody design it as well. Okay, it's Brawly Strong Style Gear did that. And then Brian F. Pro did the design of it. I told him, I sent him a pair of Cincinnati Bengals like warm-up pants. And I was like, "Hey, I would like something drawn up like that. And then we'll have our Fightful logo slapped on there as well." It's cool to see the Berwyn Eagles Club still look exactly the same. Used to go to Shimmer shows there. Legendary place. So for me, I have watched hundreds, if not thousands of matches, or over 1,000 matches on screen, the Berwyn Eagles Club. So I was like, "Hell yeah, that's pretty awesome. Like, I loved being able to work there." What hurt worse, the kendo stick or being speared through the door? So the door, I didn't know that the door slipped until I got on Twitter afterwards. So she set up the door in the corner. And then as I stumbled over, the ring shook a little bit and it slid it up against the rope. So if you see the clip, she slows down just a hair and then adjusts and puts me through it. That's all her. I had no idea that that thing moved. Because my whole thing was like, I don't look at the door or else I would have just ran away from the door. Mine was being away from the door. So she turned me, speared me through there. The cane hurt worse. The cane definitely hurt worse. Also, two of our kendo sticks got stolen before this match. She dropped them off. I had them shipped to Shazza. She put them under the ring. There's a ring that's upstairs. And somebody stole them overnight. So shout out to Trevor Outlaw who had that sent in. I'll answer some more of those Shazza questions momentarily. With Ospreay, Ziggler, Mustafa Ali, Sammy Guevara, and Jungle Boy all coming back, debuting in AEW soon, do you see roster cuts coming? No, they will not roster cut. What they do is they let deals run out. They don't just fire people. They don't just, you know, cut people arbitrarily. They like to see their deals through unless there's something, you know, unless there's something disciplinary that happens usually. Is Corey Graves cleared to wrestle and would he? Yes, he is cleared to wrestle. He is. We reported that on FightfulSelect.com last year. Best $5 in the business, $54 a year. He was great. Shazza was great. Like, I mean, I've had several inquiries about doing a match and there were a couple I considered. There was Shazza and there was Akira, who was a deathmatch wrestler. And I wouldn't have done a deathmatch, absolutely not. But there is a promoter who had hit me up about possibly doing that. And I have always said I would be open to doing something with Akira. And a big reason why, in addition to me just liking his work, years ago when he was very, very young in wrestling, he drove all the way to Maysville, Kentucky to train with my catch wrestling coach. And that made me very happy. And I've always had an incredible amount of respect for him. Is your knee okay after that atomic drop? Did her bum hurt your knee? So I am very proud that that spot got a lot of attention online, a lot of praise. I had a former WrestleMania main eventer send me that clip and they said, "That's a brilliant spot." And I'm particularly happy because that spot was my idea and it was the first idea I had for this match 4 or 5 months ago. So I was very happy to see that. And like, you know, I did this for charity. Want to help out Shazza too. So if a few people are like, oh my God, her ass hurt his knee. What? Well, where can I see more of that? And they go to her OnlyFans. Then good for her. I hope she got a shit ton of subscribers off of it. I hope it helped her. Cause I mean, this is her living. She ain't doing this for charity. I mean, she helped me do it for charity and I always appreciate this, but this is her job, man. Like she's out there working nonstop, man. We didn't go over the match till Wednesday. I was like, oh shit, bro. How will this work? What spots did you pitch for the match? I wrote almost, I think about 85 or 90% of it was stuff that I came up with. She had other matches to do. Christopher says your next charity match would be against Britt Baker, with the stakes being the loser has to support the other's favorite NFL team the entire season. So, okay, first off, that wouldn't happen. Absolutely wouldn't happen. But I want to address that too. I had somebody, or I've had a lot of people say, well, he's wrestling a woman. It ain't real. And I had another person say, why is he only wrestle women? I've had about 40 matches in my career. One has ever been advertised against a woman. There was an impromptu one I did under a mask because we had to add a match to save a show. And Denise ran in on the clusterfuck in street clothes to throw me over the top rope. So I have had one match against a woman, and I don't have anything against intergender wrestling. I just did an intergender match, but I ain't Andy Kaufman. That's not what I was ever made it to do. But it's very common on the independent circuit. Like a lot of times in the independent circuit, the best way I can explain it is like a fighting game where the stats are equal. That's just how it is. Sometimes that's just how it is. And the only woman off the top of my head that we consider wrestling is Allie Albright, who is a close friend of mine. And I would rather team with her at this point. Amir says, any heat on Jack Perry for the Punk incident? Do you think he'll come back to a storyline or be used as enhancement for now? He will not be enhancement. Absolutely not be enhancement. I mean, I'm sure a couple people had a little bit of heat, but you got to remember, CM Punk made a career doing things like saying, okay, maybe not. How do I put this? I don't know that Punk ever went and did something that he was told not to do, but that spot was cleared by AEW, the glass spot. So Punk can't be upset about that. It was on AEW pay-per-view. It wasn't in Collision, so whatever. But Punk, you know, made a career out of, you know, going against the grain and calling people out and saying edgy lines. So, yeah. Like GCW, women wrestle men. It's not weird. There you go. You said women wrestle me, but yeah, I see what you meant. What a successful CM Punk run look like? Some dream matches, some satisfying storylines that play off of real life. Did the blood drink spot go against AEW's new match rules they set out a few months ago? No. That was approved by an agent. You got to get a lot of that stuff's got to get produced or approved, rather. There was a chat on the Patreon. Will you wrestle again? I might. So here's the thing. Some of the stuff I had been pitched was like, oh, surprise in a battle royal or something like that. Well, if it's a surprise in a battle royal, I don't have really time to promote. Like, I understand there he is, and then they do a spot where they beat me up and all that. Like, I get that. But there's also not an appropriate, like, promotion tactic for me to raise funds for a good cause. Now, I mean, Black Label Pro, honestly, I'm not going to say how much because I don't want them to don't want to cause anything for them. The amount that they donated themselves would have been enough for me to do this match. And then on top of that, we raised $6,000 in donations, sponsors, and pledges. We had one sponsor that hit me up, and they were like, hey, can I sponsor this Fightful show for $100? And I was like, well, you know what? You could donate it to NAMI, and I would really appreciate that. And that sponsor then sent me a screenshot of them donating $2,000. And they said, you don't have to do ad reads. We just wanted to do this. I was like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. Is it true Becky Lynch's deal is up in the spring and WWE and AEW will have a bidding war for her? If she hits the open market, AEW will make a big offer for her. 100%. They will offer her about anything that they can. Her deal's up in June, though. Any way to convince Tony to give the women more time? Glad the women getting over, but they need more time. I wish. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people push for it. How he feels is how he feels. So I don't have to agree with it. I think they should absolutely get more time, but it's such a circle of a self-fulfilling prophecy to not feature women more. You got to make people care, and you got to give them good stories and give them time. In a world where DVR exists, who cares what Night Collision is on? I can record it and watch it whenever I want. Advertisers care. And the reason why that, I'll give you a reason why that relates to fans. Why, when people say, why do you care about ratings? I don't really care about ratings that much, but I'll tell you who does. Advertisers. And I'll tell you who cares if advertisers care. WBD cares if advertisers care. And I'll tell you who cares if WBD cares about advertisers caring. That's AEW, because that means more money for them. Well, what does that mean for you, the viewer? Well, that means that they have more money to pay their wrestlers, to retain them, to sign new ones, etc. They were doing absolute crap numbers. They would not be in a position to get over $100 million a year. And in AEW, it's a little bit different. It's a lot different. They don't have to answer to stockholders. It's a private company. If Tony and Chad Khan decide, you know what? We want to profit $32 this year, and we deem that a success. Well, that's what they deem a success, and they don't have to answer to anybody else unless those people have us, unless they've sold a stock in the company. If it is owned by the cons, they deem what is successful. So whoever on Twitter saying they're not a successful company because they're losing $50 million, the cons have plenty of money. They deem what they consider a success because it's their money, their time, their resources, their project, and their product, and their company. So that's how it all trails back to that. However, if AEW, as opposed to hypothetically having $30, $40, $50 million a year, have $100, $150 million a year, well, that's a lot of Becky Lynch's and Drew McIntyre's and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and, Sami Zayn's they can go after for their company. See what I mean? Carlito really injured or is it a work? I don't know. I saw his brother, or is Orlando his cousin? Saw him yesterday. Can you ask WWE if Def Rebel could be replaced? Man, nobody in that company likes that music even. It's bad. Are you going to be in Tampa for the Rumble? I'll be there until at least Saturday afternoon. I like watching shows from the comfort of my own home, but I'll be there doing media that week. Oh, going through, looking a little bit more at some questions, making sure. Andrew says, Sean, how long have you been working at Fightful? Seems like you're young. I have worked at Fightful since 2016. There you go. However young you think I am, we'll roll with that. But I've been there since 2016. I am signed until the December 1st, 2029. So effectively until 2030. Guys, thank you all so much. I wanted to do this stream. I was supposed to be behind the Fightful Select paywall. But hey, if you watch this and you liked this, Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have Randy Orton contract news coming today. We have a bunch of like AEW, Trish Adora news like that coming up. But on Monday, I'm doing the Backstage Report podcast. And you might be like, what the hell's that? Every week on Monday, it's basically like the old WCW hotline. I will do like a 15 to 20 minute review of the stories we have broken over the last week and add a lot more detail to that. So if you like this stream that wasn't supposed to be up for free, go subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Just 1 month. I promise you're going to like it. It's a good time. We have a great community over there. We go out of our way to not let assholes in on Fightful Select. MD says, are these every Sunday or a random day every week? Usually I do Q&As on Friday, but sometimes it varies depending on the schedule. Grapsity does one every other Thursday. Thank you guys so much. And I want to say this sincerely, guys. Thank you so much for all the kind words about the match. I'm very proud of how it ended up. I am proud of the work that we did in the ring. I am most proud of not only the money that we raised for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, over $6,000. But I tweeted this last night. I would like to think that when I'm gone, when I'm dead, I either helped someone or helped someone help someone. And I know that sometimes things that I say on Twitter or the people I react to could be abrasive or exhausting. But ultimately, I would like to help some people. And I'm in a position now to where I can help some people. And I was not always in that position. And at one point, I was the person that needed some help. So thank you all so much for helping us make that a reality. That means so much to me because I know there's a lot of things you all can invest in. I know there are many of you who are not in a position to donate. You are not in a position to subscribe. You are not in a position to send a super chat, and that's okay. I have been there. I was there a few years ago. Fightful's losing money hand over fist. I was not doing great financially. Before Fightful came along, I was dirt poor. I've been there. So the fact that many of you donated, that is not lost on me. The fact that so many of you subscribed to Fightful Select, that is not lost on me. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate how nice many of you were about that. We're going to wrap up this show with Mike the Jeweler sending a big super chat. Thank you, Mike. Says, I hope you didn't get your butt whipped too bad by Shazza. This is for the ice pack and bath donation. Chump man fills a pee. God damn. Come on, man. Thanks, SRS. He always slips that in. It's like the old Moe's Tavern phone call. Like Mike the Jeweler just slips in an insult. He says something. He sends this very generous chat and says something nice. And then he slips in something like that. New Lack City. Actually, I saw your Humper chat. I'm sorry that I didn't answer it then. Yes, I have noticed that AEW women haven't been featured as much lately. Or they have been featured more lately, especially in Collision. First hour as well. Very promising to me that that's happening, but I want to see it more. I got to see it more. Again, guys, thank you all so much. It's been a great weekend for me, and I want to thank you all so much. We're out.